Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, in studio with Trent Horn, who has not, even in a hypothetical way, killed me yet today, and I'm delighted to be able to report that. I think the worst one for killing me lately has been Tim Staples, actually. I think Trent is reformed in that regard, has no longer uses me as the example in his ridiculous analogies that he gives people. I feel safer. I feel safer around Trent now. 888-318-7884 is our number. Pro-choice people calling to talk with Trent today. Only pro-choice people. So if you're a pro-choice person, you're welcome. We want to talk about the most serious issue on the moral landscape of the world. One that, I'll tell you what, if you watch the evening news, you wouldn't even know what's going on. They managed to what shall we say? Distort reality in such a way that we talk about things that are unimportant endlessly, and the most important things we almost never get a chance to talk about, at least using the media, which are the public property of the people of the United States. But today, here we are on the media talking openly about it with intelligent people of different views. Where else are you going to find that? 888-318-7884 is our number here. You can thank EWTN for that. You can thank your local Catholic radio station. You can thank all the people who support Catholic Answers for the fact that this is the only place in American media where you get an intelligent conversation about life issues. Kelsey in Nebraska is going to be next. Kelsey's listening. There's one of those another great Catholic network, Spirit Catholic Radio. She's listening on 102.7 Spirit Catholic Radio there in Nebraska. Kelsey, thank you so much for your call. Why are you pro-choice?
Well, lately I've been leaning more towards the pro-life, but I've been pro-choice for 15 years through my confirmation, through, you know, Catholic, through like rebaptism and everything. Mm-hmm. And the one moral that I have deep in my soul that I'm not completely comfortable with is I am not God and I am not Jesus. Mm-hmm. So what gives me the right to form this legal law in which I get to decide what other people do mm-hmm. with their bodies and do to other people, like, you know? And I 100% agree that abortion is not the right choice, but I don't understand how me as a good Christian can, you know, judge someone else for their choice and their sin.
Okay. So, Kelsey, why do you think Christians are unable to judge the actions of others? I agree with you that we can't judge a person's soul because we can't see that. So we can't tell if somebody's, you know, in a state of grace or if they're quote unquote going to heaven or hell. You and I can't see somebody's soul, so we can't judge the state of their soul. But we can judge their actions. Like, we can see their actions and we can judge whether their actions are right or wrong. For example, Jesus himself even said in John 7:24, "Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." So it seems to me that, do you think even if we can't judge somebody's soul, we could judge whether what they're doing is right or wrong?
See, and that's where that gray area comes in. Like, what specifically determines what's right and wrong? You know, what specifically, because it's not specifically written out in the Bible that an unborn child is not, you know, deserving of human rights. Like, that was my, you know, my main cause of my pro-choice for those 15 years.
Right. But do you think, though, that all of our moral rules, do they all come directly from the Bible? There's things the Bible doesn't talk about. You know, the Bible doesn't say that you shouldn't hijack airplanes or create internet pornography. You know, now those things are, of course, technologically came in the future after the Bible, but even still, it doesn't mention those things. But why should we assume, though, that every moral rule is found in the Bible? Some things are just obvious. And so the Bible, doesn't need to remind people that there's just certain things that you just don't do. Though what it does say, the Bible does say, you know, hey, don't kill innocent people. And so if we can use science to show that the unborn is an innocent human being, then we could apply what the Bible says. I would also say we should, if Jesus started a church, then we could, then the church could give us guidance on moral rules, even if the Bible doesn't speak to all of them. So what do you think of that?
You know, and I'm still in that gray area where, you know, I don't feel comfortable about creating a law of what a woman should do with her body. Like if someone, or even if someone wants to commit suicide, like I personally don't feel comfortable of, you know, judging them and telling them, you know, no, we need to create a law against this. Like, you know, we need to create laws to prevent this. Like,
well, Kelsey, let me jump in. When should we make a law? So when is something bad enough that we should have a law saying you shouldn't do that?
Yeah, that is the question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So like, because you and I agree we should have some laws, right?
Yes, like I think that, you know, in my past couple of years of a change of ministry and everything and a change of faith, that I believe that abortion is wrong. But I also think that I shouldn't be the one to tell someone what they can and cannot do.
Why do you think abortion is right? Why do you think abortion is wrong?
Mainly because I think that there are other ways to get around this difficulty. Like, you know, there's other ways of versus, you know, aborting a fetus or aborting a child or aborting a baby, however you want to, you know, whatever noun you want to tag onto it.
Right.
There are other ways to have that child live and continue to go about a life.
So there are non-lethal ways, is what you're saying?
Yes.
So what makes abortion wrong, it's not so much the other ways, but that abortion, it kills the child.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, like, if I was to say this statement, what would you say to this? Child killing should be illegal. Would you say yes to that?
Yes, yes, and I agree with that.
So then if an unborn human being is a child and abortion kills them, then you would agree abortion should be illegal if abortion and child killing are the same thing.
Yes, and I do agree with that. But then I come back to my original question is, you know, what gives me the right to condemn others for this?
Well, let me give you an example. Let's say, to grab something from the headlines, you were on the street and you saw a police officer arresting a minority, and he was using excessive force to the point where he was likely to kill this individual in his custody. Do you think something would give you the right to at least make a phone call to say this kind of thing shouldn't happen?
I guess when you put it that way, yeah.
Right, and what gives you that right? The fact that you are a human being and you recognize other human beings should be treated with dignity and respect, right?
It's my morals, yes. It's me being open to the Holy Spirit.
Right. And I would say that if we apply that to any born individual who is in danger, we should apply that to the unborn as well, that anyone who is a victim of people who are more powerful than them, we have an obligation to stand up for those who cannot stand up for themselves. So I would just encourage you to not look at abortion as if it's a completely other situation. The only difference between the unborn child and you and me is that they're smaller, they're less developed, they live in a different place, and they're more dependent on their mom. But, you know, when you're a newborn, you're smaller, less developed, you're in a different place, and you're very dependent on mom. But those differences don't justify making it legal to end your life. So I tell you what, Kelsey, if you'll stay on the line, I would enjoy sending you two books. One is my book, Why We're Catholic, which has a chapter on pro-life, but also my book, Persuasive Pro-Life. So what we could send you, we could email you those two books, and you could peruse those and feel free to call back whenever you like if you have questions about them. Would that be all right?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for talking with me.
Of course, anytime.
Thank you for the opportunity to have such intelligent conversation, Kelsey. We really appreciate it. It's why are you pro-choice today? Only pro-choice people calling, please. 888-318-7884. There are lines open. Let me just see how much. Yeah, there's three lines open. You'll get in this hour if you call now. 888-318-7884. The reason we leave the lines open for only pro-choice people on these days is that everybody here sitting around this table is pro-life. And so we want to have invite people into a conversation, and it's not much of a conversation if we all just sit around agreeing with one another. So it's why are you pro-choice today? If you're a pro-choice person, we welcome your call. 888-318-7884. And July, I cannot believe that I'm even saying this, is almost over. July ends this week. And so does the big Catholic Answers magazine sale. You really should get Catholic Answers magazine. Tell you what, when I was a kid, my dad, my mom, they used to just leave good reading material around. That was like their thing, you know? And so we always had stuff you want to pick up. I can remember the Catholic Digest was big in those days. But, you know, you wanted to pick up something to read in the house. There was always something sitting on a coffee table that was good and formative. I think probably the best magazine for that right now, today, if you've got kids, if you've got teenagers in the house, is Catholic Answers magazine. It gets to those most basic questions, the kind of questions that middle schoolers have because of what they are exposed to. Even before middle school, they're exposed to very mature questions, very mature challenges to their faith. And Catholic Answers magazine is just perfect to have sitting around to help answer those questions. It's good for adults. It's good for kids. One-year subscription is 25% off right now, $30 for a one-year subscription. Two-year subscription, 40% off, $50. And you get a whole bunch of digital stuff that goes with it, but a bunch of digital goodies with both of those offers right now. So get your deal at CatholicAnswersMagazine.com, CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. The mind you save might be your child's.
Call us now with your question. Hello? On Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Now there's a fast and easy way to get in touch with EWTN, the EWTN Everything Number. Call 1-800-447-EWTN to get the latest information on programming, special events, pilgrimages, and more. Our EWTN Family Viewer Services representatives are ready to help you with whatever your needs may be. The EWTN Everything Number, 1-800-447-EWTN. EWTN.
Why are donuts so much better when they come in a pink box? These are the important issues that Trent and I discuss during the breaks. Donuts just are better when they come
in a pink box. When they're in a pink box, I know
they're
good.
Something about that pink box.
I know they're good.
Duncan. And what's the other guy? Krispy Kreme. But it's those pink box donuts from your local family donut shop. Oh, they will get you every time. I think Emily agrees. Oh, she's on the phone. 888-318-7884.
She doesn't have time to talk about donuts. She's talking to our wonderful callers.
I would talk about donuts all day if I could. Zelly in Bay City.
Yeah.
Oh, is this where the Bay City Rollers came from? I'm probably the only person in this whole studio that remembers the Bay City Rollers. Zelly in Bay City, Michigan, listening on the radio there. Zelly, why are you pro-choice?
I am pro-choice because I believe the mother should have a right to choose if she wants to put her body through that trauma.
Okay, Zelly, you're talking about the trauma of continuing a pregnancy, you mean?
Continuing the pregnancy and then going through the birthing process.
Mm-hmm.
And then raising it even.
Okay, so you're saying a mother, so when we come to the question of the child that's involved, is your argument that even if this unborn human being, even if it is a human being, even if it is a human being with the same rights you and I have, a mother can have an abortion because she's not obligated to go through the pressures and the risks associated with pregnancy and childbirth? Is that your position?
Correct, but also as you mentioned before, there's a fine line on when it is a human being or not. Up until a certain amount of time, it is just a clump of cells. Even after that, it's not like this child can make decisions on its own until a certain age. It doesn't feel until like 23 weeks. So it wouldn't be much of a thing.
Okay, so you really have two arguments here. So even because if it's not a human being, that I would agree with you, abortion is really not a big deal. I wouldn't care if the unborn is not a human being. But if the unborn is a human being, like you or I, then human beings have a right to life, and we don't kill them. Because I guess let me put it to you this way: would it be okay for you to let's say there was someone else who lived with you? And if you're in contact with them, they would cause you to get sick through no fault of their own. And you'd have symptoms similar to pregnancy, weight gain, and other risks associated with that. Would you have the right to kill somebody just because they might get you very sick?
No, but that's completely unrelated. It's an odd analogy.
Well, I don't understand the difference. So let's bracket the question of whether the unborn... Because there's two questions here. If the unborn is a human being or not, versus that's one question. And the other one is, even if it is a human being, a woman is not obligated to go through pregnancy to care for the child. I want to focus on that one first, and we can go back to whether the unborn human is actually a human being. It seems to me if the unborn child is a human being, in 99% of cases, the mother and father engaged in an act that they knew would create a helpless child. So they owe that child compensation, even if it is uncomfortable or difficult for them. They have responsibilities towards this life they've created. Do you think if the child is a human being, they have responsibilities to the life they brought into existence?
No.
Why not?
I do not believe that they have the responsibilities.
Okay.
They knew what they were doing. They knew what they were doing when they decided to engage.
Mm-hmm.
And if they found out that they were pregnant, I still believe it is up to them. Say they completely believe it's a human being. It is still up to them because it is just a fetus, and they don't owe the fetus anything. It's not there to voice, hey, I want to live, or to voice anything.
Okay, so this is going back then to your question about whether this human being has the same rights you and I have. I agree with you that the unborn child does not have the ability to say, hey, I want to live, or to have thoughts like you or I have. But suppose this pregnant couple, this pregnant woman and the father, let's say she just gave birth at home or out in the woods somewhere. If she doesn't have any obligations towards the fetus before birth, could she just abandon the child in the wilderness right after birth? If she has no obligations towards this child, why couldn't she just give birth and walk away? She doesn't have any obligations, right?
She could.
Okay.
It would be wrong, but she could.
All right. Well, I will leave it at that then. I would say that your position, that if you endorse the view, there's two views here for our listeners to consider. One is the view that human beings have a right to life and we have moral duties to one another. So parents ought to care for their children and make sacrifices for them. At the very bare minimum, they ought to provide children with shelter, food, water, whether they're born or whether they're unborn. Or there's the other view that says parents can engage in sex and have no obligation towards their children. And they can, if they want to, dismember them in the womb or leave them to die of exposure in the woods. And so I'll ask our listeners just to consider which of those views sounds more humane and more civilized. And I'll bet dollars to donuts that it's my view. But I'm grateful you called in, and I'll let our listeners decide which one they think is the more civilized view. And I would encourage our listeners, go with the more civilized one that doesn't involve killing either unborn children or leaving born babies in the woods to die and legally protecting both. But Zelly, I'm glad you called in, and hopefully we'll chat again sometime.
Thanks, Zelly. 888-318-7884 is the number. If you are a pro-choice person, this is your opportunity to talk with Trent Horn, one of the great apologists and defenders of human life, and share your reasoning. We'd love to have a reasonable conversation. Tony in Schenectady, New York, listening on 1400 AM there is next. Tony, why are you pro-choice?
Yo, it is so hot here in Schenectady. It's like 104 heat index.
when we can't appreciate that as much here in beautiful San Diego. It's
sorry that the weather's
it's
perfect
frustratingly
here.
Always 72 degrees here. But what are you on abortion, Tony? Would you say you're pro-choice or?
This is an honest answer, too. I have no idea. This is such a tough question for me that I don't know whether I'm pro-choice or pro-life. I really don't know.
Okay.
But I'll tell you why I called. That's not why I called. First, I want to lodge a complaint. Can I lodge a complaint to you?
I haven't been working in the complaint department for a while, but I'm willing to give it a try. If it's,
we usually route those to Marie, but she's out right now on her honeymoon.
If it's pertinent to our subject, sure.
Go ahead. Lodge away.
Okay. No, that's all right. Forget it. Listen, I think that we could spend years arguing this issue, whether a fetus is viable, whether a person's inconsistent in their arguments, whether a child is whether a fetus is alive or not. We can argue this, and we have been arguing this for decades.
Sure.
All right? And we're getting nowhere with this argument. I think what we need to do is find a solution to the problem. Okay? Back in the day, I don't know how old you guys were, but back in the day, people were getting killed by like the thousands on our highways from drunk driving. People would get behind the wheel and kill a whole family. And I remember people were dying like at the amount that the Vietnam War, guys getting killed back then.
And they started mad.
Drunk driving was against the law, and there were big penalties for drunk driving. But what we decided to do was launch this huge public campaign on television, on radio, and say, we're going to stop the drunk from getting in the car. We're not going to try to stop him once he's driving. We're going to stop him from getting in the car. And so you had all those public service announcements, you know, buzz driving is drunk driving, and, you know, this is your brain on drugs. Everyone's heard those commercials, right?
Yes.
I think that this issue needs the same thing. The problem, like I said, we can argue forever, all right? But the problem is unwanted pregnancies. And I don't understand, and I knew this as a kid when I was at St. Stanislaus Parochial School.
Okay.
Why doesn't everybody in the United States know that you could call, if you're a woman who has an unwanted pregnancy, you could call this phone number, and there will be the Catholic Church, and they will bend over backwards to get you prenatal care, to get you counseling, to get you housing, to support
you. Tony, let me jump in here. 2 points to consider. One, I think many people are aware that adoption services exist and parenting services exist. Not everyone, but I think many people who choose abortion are aware of alternatives that exist. They can go to the Catholic Church, Catholic Charities, pregnancy resource centers. They're aware of that. But here's the thing, from their perspective, they are more terrified of raising a child or placing a child for adoption than they are of abortion. So the problem is, even if you have all these services to offer people, it is difficult. It requires tremendous sacrifice to continue a pregnancy, to give birth, and then either raise your child or place them for adoption. Monumentally difficult decision. So if a woman is more scared of that than abortion, she will pick abortion. And so we have to get people to see abortion is something much worse because it involves killing the child.
But I kind of like Tony's idea that what if you had a massive public campaign against abortion where you showed what abortion was, you taught people, the government got behind it, celebrities got behind it. Like I actually think a great campaign of public persuasion would be good for this country.
Absolutely. But the problem is no campaign like that would be sensible unless abortion were illegal.
Well, driving was illegal.
But,
sure. Yeah.
But,
I
no,
gotcha.
But with drunk driving, actually what happened, Cy, that the reason that was actually started back in 1980, Candy Leitner founded Mothers Against Drunk Driving, or MAD, after her 13-year-old daughter was killed by a drunk driver who had 3 previous DUI convictions. So drunk driving was illegal, technically. You've had laws since 1910 for drunk driving, but the penalties were so light. It just didn't matter. It was almost considered a rite of passage to get a DUI. Until it was Leitner's work through MAD and other advocacy groups greatly strengthened the laws and combined that with the social messaging. So you had the messaging about drunk driving, but the laws finally had teeth to do something about it. And I still think a lot of them
are
restrained.
I don't mean to be arguing against that, of course. I do believe that, Roe versus Wade has to be overturned. It's an unconstitutional, unjust, immoral ruling. I won't call it a law, and Casey has to be overturned and all that. And abortion should be illegal.
Right.
But
the campaigns, I think, are great.
I think it's a great idea.
And I think you've had groups like Virtue Media and others who plaster the airwaves with abortion alternatives.
Yeah. Or movies like Unplanned. Right. It's a beginning.
But the problem is you can never get the social movement out there to because there's a cognitive dissonance. If you get everyone who says, yeah, we don't like abortion, but if they really start talking about why they don't like it, outlawing abortion naturally follows. From
sure.
It. So right. That's why, like, Unplanned, you know, it gets blacklisted. Like, a lot of music companies refuse to let their music rights be used in the film. It wasn't shown in theaters. You have all these places where they agree abortion's bad, but they won't do anything to just, even if you said to them, well, just socially oppose it and leave it legal. They will never do it, Cy, because that social opposition naturally entails adding fuel to the fire, making it illegal. So it's not an either or. It's going to be, we need both of them, and they're inextricably linked.
Yeah, right here in California, they won't even let you have a pro-adoption license plate.
They wanted to make pregnancy centers in California advertise abortion.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's where
I'm sorry it's 104 degrees in Schenectady, New York, Tony. It's 75 degrees and sunny here. The air is dry and the water is beautiful in San Diego. 888-318-7884, our number, pro-choice people only today.
Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
When you need answers about the Catholic faith, you need to have someone to turn to whom you can trust. At Catholic Answers, we take that seriously. And at Catholic.com, you'll find the answers to thousands of your questions on all things Catholic, with an extensive library of audios, videos, tracks, articles, and more that gets larger every day. We've given the site a whole new look with better navigation than ever before, and lots of great new features to make your Catholic.com experience one that will have you coming back again and again. That's Catholic.com with answers from the people you can trust at Catholic Answers. Visit us today.
Everybody's favorite Catholic outer space delivery pilots return for their greatest adventure yet in the brand new graphic novel Weapons of War. Fresh from saving the solar system in The Truth Is Out There and saving the timeline of salvation history in The Big Picture, Brendan and Irk land in a magnificent domed city on Mars for what is supposed to be a simple shuttle job. But soon they find themselves caught up in a sinister assault on faith and freedom. Will Mars be lost to the enemy? Brendan and Irk's only hope for the flight is in the power of God's sacramental gifts. A totally new kind of Catholic resource for apologetics and evangelization, The Truth Is Out There series combines the visual excitement and quirky humor of graphic novels with solid popular philosophy and theology. The result is a series in which everyone from teens to adults can find accessible answers to questions about God, the soul, true happiness, and much more. Order your copy of Weapons of War today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
I'm Gloria Purvis.
I'm Monsignor Charles Pope.
And I'm Deacon Harrell. The Morning Glory team asks, what happened to the Boy Scouts?
Tomorrow morning, 7 Eastern. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Why are you pro-choice this hour? Why are you pro-choice?
Here's my question is, why are you taking a pen and pretending to smoke a cigar like W.C. Fields? Or
so you don't have to say everything, you know? Some things can just stay between us. Like
Are people? It's not a secret. There's hundreds of people.
This program,
tens of thousands
is
of people
listened
watching.
To by 3.4 billion people every day. 3.4 billion people.
And there's
listen every day.
A decent
they,
number.
They don't
watching
need to know that
online.
I'm goofing around with a pen, pretending I'm smoking a. By the way, I was pretending I was smoking a cigarette. I wasn't pretending.
It's
it was
one
a
of those.
Cigar.
It was one of those fancy French cigarettes on a stick.
Yeah, it was. And why do you have to say anything? Why can't I? Why?
I don't know.
Whatever happened to respecting another person's privacy? 888-318-7884.
Not if they do something objectively immoral.
Is that objectively immoral to pretend you're smoking a cigarette? I was pretending
no,
I was
not.
Smoking a cigarette.
Could be scandalous, Cy, for a youngster like myself to be led into sin.
I watched all those
anti-smoking commercials growing up as a kid. You know,
yeah, you grew up on those.
You're gonna well, they had all those.
I grew up on people selling cigarettes between the commercials on Saturday morning.
Not even between the commercials. It's like Fred Flintstone. Hey, Bonnie, I love these Lucky Strike cigarettes.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Bonds.
Stop having fun. Yeah. Knock it off.
Okay, let's get back to the grim.
First of all, you and I need to continue the idea in the public mind that we do not like each other. That's best.
We have to keep that going.
We have to keep that going. Second of all, if I want to pretend that I'm smoking a cigar while I'm doing the program, I think you should keep that between us. Third of all, we're inviting people who are pro-choice to call today.
Yes, we are.
And they're being good enough to call, and you should behave yourself. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. I will say this. I'm going to say it again. This is the third time I've said it during the show, but there's nowhere else you're going to go in American media to get an honest conversation between pro-life and pro-choice people. As a matter of fact, if you're a pro-choice person and you want to call me up and tell me what pro-choice radio station is inviting pro-life people to call, you just let me know, because it's not happening.
I would love to hear. We're not having these conversations. I wish we did it more. There was a show in England a while back. Wasn't a conversation show, but it was a we're not even having good debates. It was a debate show called Intelligence Squared. And there was actually some decent debates they would have on there. And sometimes they record the debates that are held in the Oxford Student Union. But we don't have anything like that here. And it does make me sad. But that's why I love here on Catholic Answers Live. We have these shows where we have dialogues. We also have debates. We either do them here through Catholic Answers. On Thursday, I'm actually going to do a debate on atheism with a gentleman named Alex O'Connor on Pints with Aquinas, on Matt Frad's show, Pints with Aquinas. But I'm all in favor of this kind of stuff. We need to, you know, I hate the soundbite culture war, talking head culture that's out there in news media today.
888-318-7884, the number. I have no idea what line I'm supposed to go to right now. No, we went to that. Oh, no, that's a new call. Okay, I apologize. Alan in Virginia, listening on the EWTN app. We're delighted to have you with us, Alan. Apologize for keeping you waiting. Why are you pro-choice?
Yes, sir. I just started listening, so I didn't really formulate my thoughts well enough to express them completely. But the one idea that I would like to hear you comment on is it seems like you're trying to make it there's no difference between the embryo or the baby when it's in the mother and when it's outside of the mother. Mm-hmm. So the thing I've always tried to work at is I do see a difference where in the one aspect, it needs the cooperation of its mother. Mm-hmm. And the other aspect, it doesn't. Like, once it's outside, then it's like, we can take care of this baby. We don't need you. Mm-hmm. So to me, that is an enormous difference of what's going on, besides all the aspect of where exactly you're going to decide where it's a human being.
Right.
But anyway, the necessity of the mother's cooperation, I guess, is kind of, I'd like to hear how you work that into your idea.
Yes. My position is not that there are no differences between born and unborn children, but that there's no morally relevant differences. There's no differences that say it's okay to end the life of an unborn child, but not a born child. There's no morally relevant difference. So I'll agree with you that in the womb, a child is much more dependent on one particular person than outside of it. But there is another way that we can look at it. We can say that both a unborn human being, a fetus, and a newborn infant, they are both equally and totally dependent on someone. So like the fetus, if you abort them, they will die. They are dependent on someone else to live. Without someone else helping them, they will die. A newborn infant, if you leave them on a table, they will die. They are dependent on someone in order to live. So they're both equally dependent in that regard. The difference is that usually with the newborn infant, that someone could be many different people. The mother, the father, the state, the doctors, adoptive parents, whatever. But not always. I mean, you could have a case where a woman lives in an isolated rural home and gives birth and there's no one else around to help. And, you know, now the child's totally dependent on her. Or this can happen. You could be at a community swimming pool it's just you and you think you're alone, but some 2-year-old kid wanders in and he falls into the pool and you're the only one around who can save him. He doesn't stop being a person just because he's only dependent on you. And I would say the same thing is true for an unborn child. Just because they're totally dependent on one person, that doesn't give that one person the right to decide if they live or die. So I guess that's how I would approach the differences there. Does that make sense?
I'd have to think about it and take it in, because I think there's something that I just think that's a sticking point, because you need the person's cooperation, and this person might have a different outcome desired about the situation, and it is, it is in that sense, you know, their business in a way.
Well, but here's the problem. I'm concerned about when you use euphemisms like cooperation. To me, I would say, look, parents have an obligation to provide basic care to their children, whether it's feeding them, housing them, protecting them from the elements, water, medicine. And so for when the child is a fetus, that just means remaining pregnant until the baby can live outside of the womb and be born in a healthy way. But I would say that just because someone needs our cooperation, it doesn't follow that they only get to live at our whim. So for example, like here in San Diego, imagine I had a boat in the harbor. And let's say I wanted to sail my boat out for the day. And I don't realize it, but my co-host here, Cy Kellett, hops on the boat to go sailing with me. And we're out at sea, and Cy is there. And I'm like, Cy, I only brought enough sandwiches and drinks for me this afternoon. The boat's kind of crammed. I'm going to need you to leave now. You can't be on my boat. You need my cooperation to stay on my boat. And then I kicked him off the boat, and he died. Well, that'd be wrong. You know, even I still have obligations to him. In virtue of him being a human being, I shouldn't kill him, even if he's on my boat without my permission. Now, with pregnancy, 99% of the time, it's not even like that. It'd be more like I invited Cy to go out on the boat with me, and then I pushed him off the boat, which would be wrong. So I hope that, Alan, you can consider that as an analogy, give it some thought. Feel free to call back if you have other questions, because Cy is staring at me right now, displeased. But he always makes these analogies. You prompted it. You said during the break I hadn't killed you yet, so that's all I could think about.
I think we just go to a break, Nick. I can't. He killed me again. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Why Are You Pro-Choice with Trent Horn right after this. I'm having a very serious conversation with Trent during this break. We'll be right back.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
He was a doctor of the church, a Carmelite, and one of the most famous mystics of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. John of the Cross wanted to help all Christians to become saints. One of his most important teachings was to encourage us all to learn how to love. For there is no love, he said. Put love, and you will find love. He died in 1591.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Lots and lots of very willing interlocutors today, people willing to have a conversation with us about a very serious issue. Lots of pro-choice people who have called to tell us why they are pro-choice. Of course, this is Catholic Answers Live. Our job is to explain and defend the Catholic faith. Among the obvious teachings of the Catholic faith is that there's a thing called natural law. There's a thing called, well, it's natural morality. We can a morality that we can understand naturally, and among those things that we believe as Catholics, any person who seriously looks into it can understand is that you should never kill an innocent human being. That's forbidden. So it's not primarily a biblical argument, although certainly the Bible supports that. Thou shalt not commit murder is one of the big ones. But we do believe as Catholics that it is always and everywhere wrong to take innocent life intentionally. And so we don't try to hide that. But there's a lot of brave and many intelligent pro-choice people who call and allow for this intelligent conversation to take place. We're grateful to them. Am I going to line number two now, just so that I know? Is that...
Yeah, whatever. That sounds fine.
Okay, let's go to Joe in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Watching on YouTube. Sorry, Joe, I got a little confused about where I was going. Why are you pro-choice, Joe?
Oh, well, that's fine. And thank you. And congratulations on your show. I really enjoy it.
Thank you.
I want to talk from the Jewish point of view. For 3,000 years before your religion ever began, we had prophets, the Torah, and the Mishnah. And it was very clear in Talmudic law that life began when the fetus passed through the birth canal, at least the head passed through. And then it was infanticide, which was not permitted. And for 3,000 years in the Old Testament, none of the prophets, okay, you think if this was a big issue with God, it would have been encoded in Jewish law. And in the Mishnah, it says that if you harm a woman so that she loses her fruit, which is the baby in her womb, then the husband gets to fine you. But if you kill the woman itself, it's murder. So there are many instances about this in post-Talmudic writings and and things like that. And modern rabbis say no one really knows exactly when life begins. It wasn't until 1588 that the Catholic Church explicitly wrote about conception, and life began at that time.
So
years after Christ.
Okay, let me put it, hold on, I'm going to put a pin on that. I'm happy with you to explain Judaism, and we can dialogue about that, but the Catholic perspective on conception, when human life begins, actually the Church does not take an official position on ensoulment, but the Church has always affirmed from the first century that direct abortion through any stage of pregnancy is wrong. St. Basil the Great in the 5th century made it very clear. He said, we don't care whether the fetus is formed or unformed, you're still taking the life of a child.
But when you say first century, I just want to be clear, in writing, Catholic teaching from the same century that Christ lived in, in the Didache, says you cannot commit abortion.
Right. So now the question is, when it comes to Judaism, what is the Jewish view on this matter? Now, Joe, would you agree, though, that let's take, you know, when it comes to applying both the Torah and the Talmud, all of that, among modern Jews, there are differing degrees of views on when it comes to theological and moral issues. Like we have the, to put it as simply as I can, the Reformed, Conservative, Orthodox, and then I guess the ultra-Orthodox viewpoint. So there's variant degrees, right?
Oh, absolutely. I would agree with you absolutely on that.
Right. Yeah, so for example, I mean, in Reform Judaism, I mean, abortion, you know, it's very lax, the rules concerning there. Whereas in Orthodox Judaism, today, abortion is considered in many cases to be tantamount to murder, actually. It's not the case that it's not a human being before birth. My understanding in modern Orthodox Judaism is that abortion is almost always wrong unless the pregnancy represents a threat to the mother's life or her health, and where in that case the rabbis invoke the Jewish principle of, and do apologize if I mispronounce this, pikuach nefesh, which means life above law, essentially, or to save a life, that you can override religious rules when a life is in danger. But otherwise, for the vast majority of cases, I think even in Orthodox Judaism, abortion would be wrong. So where do you fall on the spectrum when it comes to which abortions are right or wrong?
In protecting the life of the mother, yes.
Right.
Yes, yes, that is correct. That's the correct terminology. And rabbis, at least the ones I've talked to, would totally agree with you on that.
So would you be for
life above law?
Right, life above law. So would you say then that abortion is always okay, or it's only acceptable in these life above law circumstances?
Well, I would definitely say life above law circumstances. I mean, I think that's a no-brainer. But I think it's kind of murky when life begins, and I go back to our history, and you know, this has been Jewish thought and Jewish law among many, many scholars for thousands of years.
Right.
And I would think if it was so important to God, I mean, you know, there are, 613 laws in the Torah, that one of those laws God would have mentioned.
Well, I will, here's the problem, though, with that. This relates to a similar caller. Not everything in the Torah Not every moral duty is explicitly spelled out in the Torah. I'll give you one that's a conspicuous absence. In Leviticus 18 through 20 in the Holiness Code, it gives a long description of which sexual relations are incest. This is incest, this is not incest. Because, you know, it's easy to say some things are wrong, but what counts as incest? Well, when you live in a wide kin community, usually you draw the line at around your first cousin or something like that. But it's, you don't have sex with this person, this person, this person, this person, in Leviticus 18 through 20. But strangely enough, there's one relationship missing there. There's no rule that says that fathers cannot molest their own daughters. There's no rule in there that says that. Now, most rabbis, when they explain the absence of that rule, is just because it would just seem patently obvious that you want to protect your daughter's virginal integrity, and so you just wouldn't do that. You don't even have to be reminded of it. But it's not actually spelled out. So I would say when it comes to abortion in the Torah, because barrenness is considered to be such a curse and children are considered to be such a blessing, it would just be considered so obvious that you ought not do this towards your own children. So that would be my response on there. And then I guess the other point would just be, we could also approach the issue just with science and philosophy and say, well, there's one religious perspective, but what if science and philosophy lead us to another perspective on this point, that it's a human being and we should just treat human beings equally? So what do you think of those responses, I guess?
Well, I would agree with you. There's a lot of debate because today we have advanced science, we have philosophers, ethicists, we have rabbis, we have other religious leaders, we have, political people. Mm-hmm. And, I would say, some people will state that life begins at conception, but that's not universal, that term, that a fully human being exists at the point of conception. Mm. And there are plenty of obstetricians which will argue with that. There are embryologists that will argue.
I'll tell you this, and I'm happy to send you my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, and you can go through the book and check it out. But I'm not aware of any embryologist who will say that at conception, the unborn is not a genetically distinct biological human organism. There are some who will say it doesn't have human rights, but they won't deny the science of it. Now, however, people do disagree, but it's not like everyone agrees that a baby is a baby after birth. Peter Singer is a philosopher who says it's not a person until at least 3 months after birth, so infanticide can be okay. There's people who promote the Oxford Journal of Medical Association promoted an infanticide issue a few years ago. So what I would say is that just because there's disagreement doesn't mean there isn't a right answer. And I think that when we look at it objectively and scientifically, from conception onward, we have a genetically distinct human organism growing and developing, and we should just treat that human organism with the same respect we would give to any other born human being. But if you stay on the line and give our call screen your email address, I will send you a copy of Persuasive Pro-Life, and you can always review it and give us a call back. But I'm grateful that you called in. We'll see if we can squeeze in a few more calls here before the end of our hour.
We are approaching the end. Joe, thank you very much. Appreciate the call. Why are you pro-choice is our question to the caller today. So it's all pro-choice callers. 888-318-7884 is the number. Mark in New Orleans, Louisiana, listening on 690 AM. You are up next, Mark. Why are you pro-choice?
Hey, am I actually on the line right now? I'm on the radio?
Yes, you are actually on the radio. Yes.
Okay. All right, turning it out. All right, well, first let me preface this and let you guys know I am 100% anti-abortion. However, I'm pro-choice. Now, you're wondering what that means. I'm a staunch Catholic, former altar boy, mm-hmm. still go to Mass, not as much as I used to, but I make an appearance more than Easter and Christmas. So, hey, forgive me, Lord, but I'm working in Christianity and Catholicism for tomorrow. I think you guys are working for it for today. I'm looking at the bigger picture. The people that are having these abortions in one generation, in 18 years, these are people that never really had Christ in their life. They're not going to have Christ when they're 18. They're going to do what their parents want, and they're probably going to vote against us when it comes to the polls. So I think we have to let pro-choice continue today until we can retake the moralities of this system, and then we can fix it. It's a very strange, abstract view. What's your take?
Well, it's original, I'll give you that. I have not heard that justification for abortion yet, and I'm always amazed when I get an original justification. So you're, it's similar to another view. And that's the Freakonomics view. So there's that book written a while ago called Freakonomics that said that crime rates went down in the 1990s because abortion started 18 years earlier. So abortion is okay because it brought down crime. Now, actually, sociological studies have shown the Freakonomics argument is incorrect. Crime went down in the 90s not because of abortion 18 years earlier, but because of better policing methods that were practiced in the late 80s and early 90s. But the argument seems to be we need to continue abortion. Your argument is we should allow abortion to continue because the people being aborted
would be bad voters.
Would most likely vote, I guess, to keep abortion legal. So we should just let it continue to perpetuate. What I would say here is on two grounds. One, on a moral ground, which is where we should operate first, we ought not do evil so that good will come from it. There's lots of different ways to try to get the vote out. One of them should not be aborting the opposition. We don't murder people to try to get elections won. That's if you justify that, then all kinds of things you could justify: violence at polls, all kinds of horrid things. We don't murder people to get the election results we want. And then number two, I would just say, well, I'm not entirely sure that this would even work. I mean, how are we supposed to know the people who are being aborted would vote in a certain way? There's no way that we could know that, but that's not as important as part of the argument because we don't murder people to get the right election results that we want. So not only would it probably not work as a plan, it's not something we should even entertain. So I guess that's my answer. I hope that's helpful for you, Mark, and I'm grateful you called in. We might be able to get one more in.
That's impressive, though. Mark came with an original one, and that's very impressive. Mark, thanks for the call. 888-318-7884, the number. Let's go to Todd in West Texas, listening on 91.7 FM. It seems like we're moving a little quickly. We're just trying to get to everybody. Todd, why are you pro-choice?
Well, I'm kind of different because I am adopted.
You're adopted, and you said?
I am adopted.
Okay.
I was adopted as an infant.
Oh, wow.
And I kind of believe that there are certain situations that abortions should be legal.
Like what?
For the most part, like violent crime, rape, something along those lines where it isn't too willing partners. In that case, that would make it, and I'm not talking about full term or anything like that. I'm talking about early term abortion due to a violent crime.
Okay. And Todd, I agree with you that rape is a horrible act. It's an awful violent crime. So we agree rape is wrong because it's a violent crime against an innocent person, right?
That's correct, yeah.
But then by that logic...
So what you're going to say is, and I know your argument,
sure.
Then why is doing two crimes make it any better?
I think it's a fair question.
I get that. Get that. I do.
Sure.
But if it is an unwanted due to something like that, then that's why I'm pro-choice, mainly on that issue only.
But Todd,
separate.
But Todd, here's what I would say to that. Unwanted is not something that kids have. It's an attitude adults have. No child is unwanted. Because every child comes into existence because God allows that child to live and grow. No child is unwanted because God loves them. They're made in his image and likeness, and we are called to love them. So it's not the child that we should get rid of if they're unwanted. It's our attitudes that should change. Even if someone was conceived in rape, there could be people walking around us today who are conceived in rape. They're still valuable. These children, even if their parent doesn't feel capable of raising them, they can be placed for adoption because they're a valuable human being who will grow up to be a valuable member of society, just like you, Todd, who called in today, who was placed as an infant and was an excellent, fine, polite gentleman to call us today. A child in these situations should be looked at as being a smaller version of you. And just as I would treat you, Todd, with respect and dignity for who you are, we should treat every other child who is conceived, no matter what circumstance, in the same way.
Todd and everybody else who called, thank you so much for your calls. We do appreciate it. Trent Horn, thank you very much for taking 2 whole hours with us.
That was great. Glad to be here.
Trent's latest book, by the way, is Can a Catholic Be a Socialist? The answer is no. Here's why. He wrote it with Catherine Pakalik, and you can get it wherever you get your Catholic books. Tomorrow, we're going to mix it up a little bit. It's not going to be an open forum. Tomorrow, we're going to have Joe Heschmeyer in. We're going to talk about his book, Pope Peter. And then most of the rest of the week is open forum. As a matter of fact, open forum till the end of the week.